today is our last episode from the Irish month. As you might remember, I had the pleasure to visit Owen Roddy, Chair Harris and Andreas Binder at the SPG in Charleston at the beginning of October. We already had Owen and Chair on the podcast, so you know what's coming. This is podcast episode 85. Welcome to the Unschlagbar Ehrlich podcast. Once again, Andreas Binder. I can't believe I'm really here in Ireland with Andreas Binder. Once again, Andreas, how are you?
Welcome to Ireland, first of all. Hope you're enjoying the weather.
Oh yes, it's raining. What's going on?
I know, well, typical Irish weather. We can get four seasons in one day. Yeah. So other than that, I'm good. How was your trip and how are you enjoying Dublin so far?
It's good. I'm so sorry for being late because the traffic is awful here. It's
you're okay.
Crazy.
That's typical Dublin for you anyway.
Yeah. Hey, I brought you something because we were talking last time about chocolate from Austria.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much.
Get the Milka.
Milka. Lovely. Thank you.
Did you try it last time
in
Vienna?
I had so much. I went in a chocolate coma.
Right? Yeah.
I had so much chocolate. So... yeah, well, we're back on track.
You actually needed that chocolate coma because of your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very painful for a couple of days, but I'm finally coming around now, so it's not as painful anymore.
Is it better so? You have a little...
Yeah, cut. So we went back to the hospital when we came back. We did another x-ray. I was lucky enough because I broke my hand, but I only broke one bone.
Yeah.
So I didn't require any surgery, so it's healing very nicely. But by the looks of things, I could be out till maybe January or February.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy I can get back to training now. So today is my first day and I'm allowed to train again, so it's all good.
That's awesome. Your first day back and my first time here at the SPG.
Yeah, our gym is very welcoming, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and who knows, maybe we can hop in for a class and do some striking.
Would be nice. We saw a little bit of a sparring session from your friend. Chair?
Yeah, he has a fight coming up on Cage Fight Series. He was scheduled to fight as well on the 9th of September with us, but he was carrying an injury, so he had to pull out, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he's raring to go October 29th. Do not blink for this.
I love this gym, actually, because we were standing downstairs and we were watching the sparring, and the walls were like shaking, and you can feel the intensity of everything. It's so crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when we have a fight coming up, or anyone in the gym has a fight coming up, we push each other on, and the intensity kind of builds, especially the last 3 weeks of fight camp, or depending, we push the pace.
Mm. Hey, last time you fought with a song. The walking song Mount Everest from Labyrinth.
It's
such an awesome song. Where did you get it from?
It was actually my manager Paul. I always wanted the song to kind of represent me, and I found this just kind of like I just clicked with it, walking out and just kind of like absorbing the energy, where if it's an away crowd or a home crowd, everyone's just really enjoying it. It's a good vibe to it.
Definitely, and I love the line, like, Mount Everest ain't got shit on me.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's just something that represents me. Do you know, it's, like I said, when I lost the fight, I had that. When I won a fight, I had this tune on again. So, yeah, it's just, I have this good feeling when I'm walking with it, and it just kind of gives me goosebumps. I never get goosebumps, but it's the first time I start getting them when I'm fine. So, yeah, it's all good.
I can imagine that you might get some goosebumps when you see the Premier League table.
Oh.
Because Arsenal is on top and we are both Arsenal fans.
Yeah, I never thought I'd see this day, but it's about time. I don't care about winning the Premier League. I just want to qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, it's about time because I'm sick of being like 6th and 7th. But I see, look, Arteta's doing a great job with the team. It's a young team and you're showing hunger and like they want to fight for the Premier League.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's so crazy because I was such a football fan years ago, and then suddenly it stopped. I don't know. And when I see it now, it's really hard for me to watch football because the guys are so, I don't know, they are like pussies. I'm so sorry to say that, but it's so tough to watch.
Yeah.
How can you watch it?
I don't know. I've been supporting Arsenal since I was a kid because I used to play football myself at a high level, but I just see the way
you're still playing football sometimes.
Yeah, well, like, I'm not allowed anymore because
fighting.
I used to play football, and there was a big seven-a-side tournament, and I got injured in that tournament, and it was 5 weeks out my fight against Christian. And Paul and Owen gave me a bollocking over because they were scared I'm going to pull out. I really had a very bad sprain on my ankle because of the tournament. So since then, I'm not allowed to play football no more, unfortunately. I just love seeing Arsenal play.
Yeah. Hey, you once said you want to be a role model for kids. Would you recommend them being an Arsenal fan? After all these hard years?
It's a tough one. But no, look. Like I said, I've been supporting Arsenal since I was a kid, and the reason I support them is because Arsenal give young players a football chance and to progress in their careers. But look, it's a tough task to ask any kid to support Arsenal. You need to have a strong mind and a strong heart, because it's a tough sport for them, you know.
Definitely. You have a lot of kids here. Do you also train them?
No, I stepped away from the coaching side at the moment because I just want to focus on my career. I was coaching a lot when I was living in Galway, but since I moved up to Dublin now, it'll be a year now next month. I just want to focus on my career and just train.
Yeah, definitely. And you told me once you got bullied as a kid at school. How bad was it?
Look, it was... Bullies come and go, do you know what I mean? Because I'm from Romania originally. When I first came here, I was just considered a foreigner, really. It was a bit tough at the start, and that's kind of what got me into the martial arts and just to stand up and defend myself. But it wasn't easy growing up, like getting bullied all the time and all that. So yeah, look, I'd love to see someone try and bully me now.
I loved it too.
it'll be a good night.
No chance, yeah. For you, definitely.
Yeah.
This was actually one of the next questions I wanted to ask, because you already answered it, but it was really the way into MMA, this experience.
Yeah, not really MMA as itself, like, because I only started MMA, say, 6 years ago, but just a way to defend myself. Like, I started off at judo. I remember my little brother started judo, and he was like, look, just try this and see, and I really enjoyed it, and I, like... There was no striking in judo, but like I could actually submit people and just, like, you know, stand up for myself. And then I started kind of like building my confidence and everything. So yeah, it's just kind of standing up for myself, really. I was just scared to fight or anything, but now I'm not. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Do you think you can make it to the top at all age when you went into combat sports, or do you have, like, to get into UFC, you have to start with 8 years or something like that?
No, look, it's all about talent, really, and hard work. It doesn't really matter what age you are. Like, if you're putting in the work, if you're putting in the hours in the gym, in outside of your life as well, like, you know, you have to sacrifice a lot. Like, people think that this is an easy sport, but they only see the performance on the night. They don't see what's happening 4, 5, 6 months behind the scenes. They only see the performance on that night. But everyone can make it if they put in the hard work, they put in the training, and sometimes you need a bit of luck. And so far, so good. It's the luck is on my side.
Are you still working at Aldi?
Yeah, I'm a manager in Aldi in Navan. Yeah. I think it's Hofer. It's called in Germany.
Hofer.
So it's good for them, because they're managing my hours. I'm doing just mornings, so I'm getting all my training is in every evening. I'm doing 40 hours, but I'm still like balancing my work and life. So it's all good. Like, I can see the progression. But I had to change so many jobs in order to fit my training regime. Yeah. You know, I was doing just nights. I was doing just mornings. But this is just perfect. You start at 6, you're out of there at 2:30. And then I'm in training here at 6 o'clock till 9:30. And then we repeat. Same circle every day.
So you get to training like once a day?
Every evening I'm here at 6:30, and I'll be finished, and I'll do my 2 or 3 classes. And sometimes if I'm off, say, during the week, I'll get my morning session at 7 a.m. as well. So yeah, just kept busy.
It's so hard to coordinate work and your training. I mean,
yeah,
who's working
like I said, it just takes it takes a lot of sacrifice, and I've been doing it for so long at this stage. You either commit to it 100% or just don't bother, really. You know.
And I saw, like, you have really good friends who stayed with you, like, from the beginning.
Yeah.
How important
is
it?
I think that's the most important for me, really.
Yeah.
Because I'd done an interview before and I said it. People will only jump on the bandwagon when you're winning. And then when you lose 1-5, you don't see a single message. Oh, I hope you're keeping okay and I hope you're doing well. But like I said, I think I have maybe a handful of people that kept by me since the amateur, since my first amateur fight. And now they're flying everywhere. Like when I have a fight in Austria, Scotland, you name it, they're there every single time.
Is it lonely if you say like, okay, if you lose a fight, nobody is really interested in you anymore?
Yeah, it is a lonely sport, you know. Not just businesses, but like fans, really. They only like you when you're winning.
Yeah.
And then when you're kind of like on a slip and something's just not going right, they kind of forget about you. But look, I reminded them in my last fight, because like when I lost to Roberto, it was the toughest pill to swallow. But look, I just kind of got shook it off, went back to training then the following Monday, and I came back with a bang then in against Christian.
But
it is a lonely sport, and you just got to have a strong head and strong heart for it, you know.
How do you get motivated again? I mean, sometimes I have to watch a lot of the rings to get motivated for anything.
Yeah.
So what are your motivation stuff?
I just look, I don't know, I just look at my amateur career. I didn't have a perfect amateur career. I was I was 7-1 in K1 and I was 10-5 in MMA. But looking at those five losses, it was against top experienced guys. And if I managed to pick myself up from those fights, even especially amateur, I'm like, I can do it at pro. And it's the way I see it, if I don't put in the training and I lose a fight, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's when I'd be like, right, I lost because I didn't put in the work. But when I lose a fight because I trained so hard and everything, be like, look, that was it. It was just shit luck, really, and my opponent was just better than me that night. But you just have to have a strong heart and strong will, really, to get back on the horse again and just go from there, you know?
And I think it's actually not so bad to lose some fights at the amateur career.
Yeah, no, look, I said it to every single person that I ever met. I was like, amateur records are for DJs, you know? It's just like, it's a learning curve. You're preparing yourself to get to pro level, and the more you lose amateur, the more experience you're learning, and the more like you're evolving as a fighter and as a person at the same time. And looking at that, it just makes me a better fighter and a better person, really.
And you lose the fear of losing.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one, because some people, they can't deal with a loss, and some of them just never fight again, or they just scared to lose again because they're embarrassing themselves or their friends. That's what they think. But it's amateur, who gives a shit, like, you know.
Hey, you want to make a fan base in Austria and in Germany. Why exactly? Because Austria is not so into fighting like Irish.
yeah I seen, look, people ask me this every single day, right? They're like, oh, Andreas Binder is a German name, so my dad is half German. And I want to kind of like build that base around Germany and Austria. And just kind of like, I see that the Austrian MMA is starting slowly to evolve and get like more recognized. And I just looked at the IMAFs there the last day. They had two medalists, I believe. And
three, actually.
Three. There you go.
One silver and two bronze.
There you go. So it's slowly evolving. Like, but that's the only way, really. Like, and I just want to kind of build my base in Eastern Europe. And kind of like get closer to my roots, really, and then hopefully expand into Romania and then bring it all back, because everyone knows me in Ireland and UK. So I want to expand more into Eastern Europe, and then by the end of maybe 2 years, everyone will know me around the world.
Where's your dad from, actually, from Germany?
So my dad's dad is from Riedenburg in Riedenburg somewhere, anyway. he's about 45 kilometers away from Munich.
Yeah,
so he grew up there, and then my dad, now he's living back in Germany again. He lived in Ireland with us for 19 years, but now he went back to Germany again.
Is he speaking German?
Yeah,
you didn't learn German?
I learned the basics. I can speak German, but I haven't done German since about 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
Because I just don't talk to my dad in German anymore. It's all Romanian or English. So,
I would never learn German for free, because this is such a hard language.
It's very hard, yeah. It's very hard language, but I enjoy it. I like learning a lot of languages, and I can get my way around.
Yeah. You also have a little brother.
Yeah.
Did you get him into fighting?
No, he got me into fighting, really. Like, yeah.
Was he the bully?
He was definitely not bully. Like, we're completely two different personalities.
Okay.
No, so he started judo as a kid. So he's turning 21 this month. He started judo as a kid, and he was 10 times more talented than me.
Yeah.
And then he went into Thai boxing, and we went into MMA together. But he hates the ground. He hates the ground. He absolutely hates it. He hates jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So he's just, but on the feet, he's absolutely elite. Like, he's so good on the feet. So who knows? He could be coming back and just go pro with Thai boxing.
How did he get into fighting? Is your family like? Was your father a judoka?
Yeah, so my dad is a secondary degree black belt in Shotokan karate and Shoryu.
Oh, wow.
And then he done boxing, and then all my uncles done boxing as well for Romania. So yeah, we just fine family, really, like. And yeah, we just kind of followed his footsteps, and the rest is history.
Did you fight a lot with your little brother?
All the time. All the time. I'm not messing. I'll say till about since I was maybe 15 or 16, we were fighting, kicking the shit out of each other every day over like even like a box of chocolates or something. But now we're like best friends, you know.
You do a lot of media stuff. Are you satisfied with the input and output?
Yeah, I started kind of putting my time more into the media now, especially because, look, MMA is a business as well. You need to kind of sell yourself a little bit.
Definitely.
But I started getting more involved in my Instagram, into my social media and stuff, and made it a bit more professional instead of more personal life. So now I have my own personal Facebook and my own personal page as well. So I'm just trying to build that up as well.
Hey, we talked about the fan base in Austria and in Germany. How do Irish people see MMA? It must be like a national sport here since Conor McGregor.
Yeah, it's mad. Look, a perfect example. Every time Bellator come into Dublin, the Tree Arena sold out, and it's hopping because the Irish love good fights and good drinks. Do you know what I mean? I love the Irish fans up here. Like, they love fighting, and boxing and MMA, it's just kicked off. It all has been a fighting island, like, but it's kicked off, especially since the Conor era.
I only know right now about Johnny Walker being in the UFC. Who else is in top league here?
We had Rhys McKee. He was in the UFC. He's from Northern Ireland. We had Dean Barry as well. He was from Dublin.
Yeah.
Who else did we have? We have Ian Garry. He's in the UFC, but he moved over to California.
Yeah.
And that's it really so far. We had loads of UFC fighters from Ireland. We had Paddy Houlihan, we had Carl Pendrind, we had Niall Seary.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fighters in there, like Paul Redmond. So yeah, it's slowly getting better and getting big again.
What do you think about Johnny Walker's last fight?
Unreal. Unreal. Yeah. Like, you know, I called it, remember I said it to you, I was like, he's gonna finish him. Yeah. He's gonna finish him with a rare naked choke. But look, he improved so much in his striking and his ground, so it's just, look, he's a problem again for that light heavyweight division.
Hey, one in your earlier fights, you got hit with an illegal elbow on your backhead.
Yeah.
What happened exactly? And I thought I heard something about you were almost paralyzed.
Yeah, so I had I fought on Clan Wars. I think it was my second fight. Yeah, it was my second fight. I fought on Clan Wars, and I was going in for a takedown, and I just got a 12-6 elbow at the back of my spine. And it hit a nerve, and all of my right side just went numb, and my vision started going, so I got very scared, and not just me, but like
whole family.
Just my family that was there and everything. And the only thing that was going through my mind, I was like, what's gonna happen, what if this is it or whatever. But no one saw it, that I was stuck in bed for 2-3 weeks. I couldn't,
so
like,
crazy.
You know, it was just people started saying shit on Instagram and social media, saying, oh, I was trying for an easy way out and this and that and the other.
Oh my God.
But yet again, if I wanted an easy way out, I wouldn't have made weight, I wouldn't have accepted the fight, and I like to fight, you know, I'd fight anyone anytime. But look, we managed to get it rescheduled then after a couple of months when I got better, and I got him back with a knockout then in the second round.
Crazy.
Yeah.
How good was the feeling when you felt all of your muscles again?
I was just relieved. I still didn't, like, it was always at the back of my mind then. Like, every time I was going for a takedown or anything, I was always worried, because it's at the back of your mind, if this shit can happen, it can happen to anyone, or it can happen anytime. So I'm just glad to be, look, I'm back in full swing, and I'm hurting people again, you know.
So, last question, because you have to go to the training.
Yeah, no problem.
I love Christmas. So, and I always wondered, because you are a mix of Romanian, a mix of German, obviously, and Irish now. How do you celebrate Christmas?
For us, Christmas is all about family.
Yeah.
So, because now we're living in Navan, every Christmas I go down to my mom's house and Ogna's mom's house. So Ogna is my fiance, so we go down to her mom's house one day, and then the other day at my mom's. So it's just loads of Lithuanian food,
yeah.
Romanian food, every type of food, really. Because she's Lithuanian, so
Oh, wow. So
she has different, like, just loads of spuds and fish and everything, so it's unreal.
Crazy.
But yeah, it's just multicultural, I suppose.
Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas dish?
It has to be my mom's Romanian traditional sarmale. It's like cabbage parcels with minced meat, and it's just my favorite. And then, of course, the Irish turkey roast. You can't go wrong with it.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Okay, hey, you have to go to the training. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. I'm gonna go and watch your train.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you for the chocolate.
Ah, no worry. Thank you for the Monster Energy drink.
No worries. You're very welcome.
So we see you again in Austria in?
Maybe 29th of October I might come down to Corniger, because he'll be fine. I wish I was on that card, because just to lift that belt. But yeah, unfortunately I'll be out till maybe around January.
Okay.
More likely.
So see you in Austria again.
Thank you so much. See you then.
You're welcome. This was podcast episode 85 with Andreas Binder. Our Irish month is now officially over, but it's not going to be the last interview from Ireland in the future. Let me know how you liked the last interviews in English. We will now definitely go back to German interviews once again and mix them, sometimes with English ones. Next week we will finally have a fight report episode with Michael Riesch. We will talk about the most interesting fights of this month and actually also from the last month. It's gonna be crazy, long and hopefully a lot of fun. I wish you a great week. Thank you for listening till the end. Stay safe and unschlagbar ehrlich.